Good evening, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. Our journey through Holy Week now turns to darkness, to sadness, as we walk through the events of Good Friday. Our journey tonight begins in the garden and ultimately ends in the tomb. As Easter people, we know this is not the end of the story, but before we can truly celebrate Easter, we must first travel to the cross. I invite you to click on the link in the description below to check in with us this evening. If you're watching on Facebook this evening, the check-in link is in the comments. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submissions. If you're still able to give, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or by giving electronically at peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this evening. As our worship begins, I ask you to take a moment of silence and reflect on the events that are about to unfold.
All who pass this way,
look and see the shadow of sin.
All who pass this way,
look and see the weight of the world.
All who pass this way,
look and see the suffering of our Savior.
All you who pass this way,
look and see the sorrow of Jesus Christ.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
By oppression and judgment he was taken away, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken.
He was assigned a grave with the wicked, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
At this time, we give our offerings. An offering to the one who died and rose again. The one who died for our sins and tells us that we have a sure and certain hope because he is alive. You can mail your offerings in, and we do say thank you for your huge support for the ministry here at Peace. Electronically, also, there are a number of ways that you can get them here. There's a slide that will show you options for you. And once again, we say thank you. May God bless your evening.
The Shadow of Gethsemane, Mark 14, 32 through 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Don't you ever wonder why he chose us? Now that we've been through everything with him, his arrest, the trial, the torture, the agonizing walk up that hill called Golgotha, his torturous crucifixion, and finally, the shock of his return, sometimes we look at one another with these cynical grins, because when push came to shove, we couldn't even stay awake. He called my brother James and me from our fishing boats on the Sea of Galilee. We walked all over Galilee with him. We witnessed his many miracles, the healing of the sick, the casting out of demons, the feeding of thousands of people with a few loaves and some fish. And we knew, yes, we knew that he was the anointed one, the promised Messiah. We watched the crowd scream their hosannas as he came into the city of Jerusalem. But on the night of the Passover, when he needed us the most, when he asked us to simply watch and pray, we couldn't even stay awake. It's not a night of which I'm very proud. Of course, we can always blame Peter, and for a time we did. If he hadn't vowed so voraciously that he would, of course, be willing to suffer and die with Jesus, then we might not have followed along, and we wouldn't have ended up feeling like complete fools when we couldn't even stay awake. You might wonder why I want to relate this experience to you. An experience that has been so humiliating. Would it not be best to simply forget it and move on? Well, my friends, I'll tell you this, because every follower of the way will at one time or another fall asleep when he or she should be awake for Jesus. Jesus said to us that night, "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" As we realized our failure, it broke our hearts. But that was only the beginning. If you can stay awake, then thank God for the grace he has given you. But if you fall asleep, as we did, then you will need to do what we have done. You will need to accept your own failure, your own lack of perfection, and you will need to turn in faith and repentance and receive from Jesus the forgiveness that he offers. And it's not easy. Oh, I can tell you. And you know, we still don't know or completely understand why Jesus chose such ordinary folks like us to be his followers. But this we know for certain: Jesus always forgives, even when we fall asleep.
The Shadow of Betrayal, Mark 14:43-50. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them: "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled.
Dear friends in Christ, as we now look forward into the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to go through the shadow of betrayal. What happened on Friday, on Thursday, becomes extremely important in the history of the church. But before we get into the story of Jesus and his betrayal, I just want to pose a question to you. Have you ever experienced a friend betraying you and giving you away to an enemy? Many of us, like myself, have experienced governments that will take the words of the betrayer and lead people into their doom. And it is a sinking feeling that someone would feel when that is the case with everyone in the country. With Jesus, this was totally different. Judas was someone who was very, very trusted. He was in the center of the circle that walked around with Jesus for more than 3 years. And in those days, Jesus trusted all of them. But on Thursday, on Monday, Thursday, when he was instituting the Last Supper, he knew that someone within the circle was going to betray him, and he made the announcement. So he knew beforehand who the betrayer would be. And then when he went on that very, very painful evening on Mount Gethsemane, we know that Jesus was really troubled. In fact, he prayed to his Father to pass this cup away from him. so that he would not have to go through the agony of the cross and death. But then the beginning comes, and the betrayer comes with his troops. And a kiss of a friend was what betrayed the Lord of Lords and the life-giving sacrifice that was to come on him. So the shadow of betrayal. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we do that betraying every time we sin. So it is because of our sin that he went to the cross and died the death of a criminal. And my friends, that shadow of betrayal does not belong only to Judas, but it also is yours and mine. So on this Friday evening, especially as we are struggling through the calamities that is falling on our globe, I just want you to remember that the greatest betrayal is the betrayal that we do when we sin and take the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. That is the betrayal, the shadow of betrayal. Amen.
The Shadow of Denial, Luke 22:54-62. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
The reading is from Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The Shadow of Trial, Matthew 27, 1 through 2, and 11 through 31. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, They took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
Do you remember playing with your shadow? Maybe you've done it recently, or maybe it's been quite a while. The fun thing about playing with your shadow is that it really seems, at first, to have a mind of its own. That is, until you figure out that when you move, that's what's actually making your shadow move. The trial of Jesus is full of shadows. It is full of dimly lit perceptions by everyone except for the person on trial. The sun is shining brightly in this arena. Imagine with me for a moment that you were in the hot seat, that you were sitting in the seat of the accused. What do you think you would be feeling? What would you say? What could you say? The verdict had already been announced before the trial began. It's going to be a guilty verdict. There was no way out of this. So we see in the shadows a judge who at times works against this injustice, trying to bring the fair verdict of innocent, the verdict of go home, you're free. We see the shadows of the trial lawyers crafting their plans in secret behind the shadows, using anything at their disposal to bring home what they want to have accomplished. What we don't see is a shadow behind Jesus. He simply stands there in his place. He simply takes the words that are given to him. He stands silent before his accusers and before the judge. He stands there in our place, an innocent lamb, ready to make the ultimate sacrifice. He knows this shadow too will pass. The light will shine brightly again. This is something that needs to happen to bring God's perfect plan into action. He must be convicted. Now it's a wrong conviction, but it's absolutely right. As he takes the verdict for you and for me, guilty, guilty, guilty as charged. And he takes the punishment that you and I deserve, death, so that you and I can live, so that you and I can have the hope of eternal life, so that we don't have to face the trial alone. You see, Jesus took the shadows on for us. Amen.
Shadow of Crucifixion, Matthew 27:32-46. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself! Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
"He was wounded for our transgressions," Isaiah tells us, "bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." In the shadow of the dying light, as the hour of crucifixion draws near, our gracious Lord, abused and afflicted, is led a lamb to Satan's slaughter. Down in the valley of the shadow of death below, a stride away from Golgotha above, his knees buckles. Each step now a huge effort, gasping, staggering, and struggling to find his balance. Feeling for a shoulder to lean on, he feels another lash to his back. This is more than he can bear. He falls to the ground and wishes he could just lay there. Get up, Rabbi. I'll carry it at least to the top of the hill." It's the voice of Simon of Cyrene. Resting upon Simon's shoulders while struggling to stand, sweat pours down. Strange grunting noises permeate the atmosphere. He stands to his feet. With Golgotha in his sights, he puts one foot in front of the other and presses on. Crucifixion, he's been told, is one of the cruelest and most painful ways to die. Preserved for the worst of the worst, it is a slow, minute-by-minute process that includes excruciating thirst, exhaustion, exposure, and asphyxiation. "But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he reminds himself, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I would dwell in the house of my Father forever." As for the crucifixion that lies before me, for this purpose I was born. For this reason came I into the world. "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Look, He gave others. He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. Didn't he say, I am Son of God? Where is his God now? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare and decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen.
Shadow of Death, John 19:25-30. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, he said, It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
The Valley of the Shadow of Death, so powerfully coined by David. This is the ultimate shadow. The body of Jesus hanging lifeless on the tree, on the cross for you and for me. He is surrounded by those who love him. His mother Mary is crying out as she has lost her son. Jesus finishes up his time on earth with one word, tetelestai, which means it is finished. The plan has been accomplished. to Telestai. He has given up everything for us. Different than David's words, we are up on the mountaintop. We're up on the hill. We're on Calvary. That is part of the whole shadow here, because we think the worst. Yet, it is really the mountaintop. Jesus has just done it. He has taken care of the relationship problem for humanity with God. The sins have been paid for, and we are washed as white as snow. The abundant joy isn't there just yet. The disciples and Mary still feel like they're in the valley. The shadows are surrounding them. The clouds are too thick to see through. I would imagine that you've had some of those experiences in your life where the valley seemed too deep. But once you got a little ways down the road, you realized you were standing on the rock. You were standing firmly in God's care. This made the valley into a bit more of a mountaintop experience. One of the joys of Good Friday is to remember the past year, to think about the people God has placed into your life, the challenges, the joys, even those times when you'd like to have a do-over. After our service is over tonight, I encourage you, take a few minutes and seek some solace. Seek some time to spend with God, to bring to Him all of those things. Bring to Him all of the things that are burdening you, and let God take over. Let Him begin His mighty work with you. Remember that this day and the grief of Jesus is but a shadow. Sunday is coming soon when we rejoice without abandon. Amen.
The Shadow of Burial, John 19:31-42. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things have happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Shadow of burial. Shadow of burial is life as we know it. The shadow of COVID-19 has greatly affected our lives. None of us could have imagined 2 months ago that we would be almost quarantined, that we would be traveling, staying, you know, short distances, that toilet paper would be a great big item that everybody wanted to have. This is unexplainable. Our lives have been altered in ways that we would never imagine before. Our time away from work, going out and enjoying life, eating in restaurants, all these things have been altered. Perhaps God is casting a shadow over our world at this time to get our attention. Perhaps this is an invitation from God Himself to see our lives in a totally new way. Are we connecting with God and others in this time that our universe is altered? Our lives are different? Are we taking time intentionally to speak to others? Perhaps God's still small voice is wooing us to consider our spiritual distancing, not just our physical distancing. Have we distanced ourselves from God? Have we been lazy? Have we been not sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ? The shadow is intentional, just as the shadow of the burial of Jesus Christ. Have you considered the death as just a mere shadow? Remember what David wrote in Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Some translations take shadow of death and say it is the darkest valley. When have you gone through this darkest time in your lives? Maybe this is a time. We are struggling as a country. We are struggling as a world. And of course, we have to be struggling as families and as individuals because our lives have been altered drastically. You remember when Jesus hung on the cross in the darkness of death? That was nothing more than a shadow because he rose from the grave. Jesus crossed over that valley into death to die for us so that we as believers in Jesus Christ will not face death for eternity. Just as COVID-19 has changed our way of life, so too Jesus has changed our way of life just as well. He is the one who is the first fruits of the living. Jesus has broken the chains of death and set us free to be faithful and loyal to him. The psalmist has put it this way: he brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains, as it says in Psalm 107, verse 14. We have a great opportunity to be the church, not in the building, but a church in our community, sharing the precious news of Jesus Christ. When this shadow of COVID-19 hangs over all of our lives, Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 23. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. A new age of dawning with the light of the world to come into the lives of many because their lives have been turned upside down and inside out. A church without a building is still a church. We have a great message, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. We have a mission as the light of the world to shine in the utmost darkness. Light overcomes darkness, and there's plenty of darkness in our world today. Come to the light and celebrate Jesus Christ, and there is only a shadow of death. That's all it is, because Jesus has defeated death in our name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.